The unsurpassed, penetrating, and perfect truth is seldom met with, even in 100,000 myriad kalpas. Now we can see and hear it. We can remember and accept it. I vow to make the Buddha's truth one with myself. Homage to the Buddha. Homage to the Dharma. Homage to the Sangha. Feeling as the reaper of karma. I've been asked to talk about this. But what does it mean? It's one of those little pithy statements that the Buddha would make. You know, feeling as the reaper of karma. I'm not even sure if he said it, but somebody did. And it's one of those things that seems like it's simple, but is stuffed with meaning. And it can be deeply contemplated, and it can help us in our practice. If it couldn't help us in our practice, he wouldn't have said it. You know, the Buddha was extremely practical and deeply compassionate. And what he said was always intended to help beings. So, these little statements he would make are both give us comfort and encouragement. And they also help us to live more wisely and free ourselves from suffering. So, feeling is the reaper of karma. Well, first, what is karma? Well, if people have written whole long books about it, they say only a Buddha can completely understand karma. But I'm going to try a very short, simple, basic explanation. If anyone who doesn't know, well, you know. Literally, karma means action. But we tend to use it in a more loose way to mean both action and the results. Cause and effect, really. That's how we often think of when you talk about karma. And karma is all that are intentional actions of body, speech, and mind, things that we intend to do, whether for good or for ill. Body, speech, and mind. You know, we can create both good and bad karma with our physical actions, with our speech, and with our thoughts. If we harbor ill will towards somebody, you know, sort of dwelling on resentment, that's creating karma. And it may not look like anything. It's not as bad maybe as doing something physically harmful to the person or yelling at them and being angry with them. But it still has an effect. If we nourish ill will, it has an effect on us, has an effect on other beings and the person to whom we are directing our angry thoughts. It kind of creates that habit of mind of ill will. So it's not nothing. Any kind of volitional action of body, speech, or mind, whether for good or for ill, is karma. Intention is a large part of the creation of karma. If we hurt somebody by accident, it's not as bad as if we do it on purpose. And if we... this person is still hurt, but it isn't that deliberate intention. If we step on an insect by mistake, it's not the same as if we set out to squash it. It's just quite different. Little insect still dead. But the intention makes a difference. And we can still take more care and look where we're going. So there's that aspect. We are still responsible for what we do, whether intentionally or unintentionally. But our intentional actions have more weight. Well, as we know, karma works in the ethical realm. If we do good and help other beings, we will be a lot happier than if we do harmful things. You know, whether the result comes immediately, we feel bad, we do something harmful, or later on, maybe years later, maybe lifetimes later, we get the results, whether for good or for ill. But there's no judgment there, and this is a hard thing for us Westerners to understand. There's no judgment in the law of karma. It's like gravity. It just operates. There is not some great lawgiver saying, oh, that person's really bad. Let's clobber them with something. It's not like that. It's just law like gravity. Cause and effect. And we, so many of us have been raised with the concept of heaven and hell and punishment and all that, that it can be hard to let go of that idea of judgment. Judging ourselves particularly. Oh, I did that awful thing. And then we add, more suffering to our already suffering by judging ourselves as a bad person or a good person. I did something really good. And karma is not predestination. It's not some kind of fatalism. Oh, it's my karma to be a miserable person. I can't do anything about it. I was always going to be a miserable person. Actually, we have a choice, because how we respond to the things that happen to us, or that our own conditions of body and mind, how we respond to those makes a difference. And we have a choice in that. We're not helpless. We're not just victims of fate. We can choose how we deal with our karmic tendencies or the things that happen. We might always have a tendency to despondency or anger or worry or whatever, but we can do something. We can work with them. They don't have to overwhelm us or run our life. Otherwise, Buddhist training would be useless. We couldn't do anything, but we can. We have choice. We have the opportunity always to change for the better. We might tend to make the same kind of mistakes over and over again. We always choose unsuitable partners, or we keep falling into the same kind of hole. We keep cutting ourselves in some situation of helplessness, or investing all our happiness in one person or one situation, and then they leave us or they're gone and we're desolate. You know, we may keep making the same kind of mistakes again and again, and yet we can still learn. We can see the pattern for a start. Oh, I did it again. Here I am, still in this, again in this hole. Maybe I can walk around it next time. And we can choose how we respond by seeing what we're doing, but not judging ourselves as some kind of stupid or bad person. Ah, oh, I can do something different. You know? Seeing our karmic patterns, you know, the ways we tend to make mistakes, seeing our habitual weaknesses, accepting our conditions and working with them, physical, mental, spiritual, whatever. How do I work with this rather than just judging myself, thinking I'm a bad person or I'm a particularly stupid person or whatever? How can I just learn to work with what I have? I don't have to make a judgment. I don't have to compare myself with other people. Just do our best with what we have. Seeing where we keep making the same mistakes, learn to do something different, you know. If we have a weakness, like such as a quick temper, well, to recognize that. Ah, I have a temper. Rather than just blaming other people for our anger, well, somebody else's fault. It's always somebody else's fault. I have this hard life. People are mean to me. It's, you know, born under a bad sign. And then we can't learn. But if we can see, I have responsibility for this. I'm responsible for how I respond to what happens to me, or how have I created problems for myself. Maybe I have been so great and that's why people are angry with me. I have responsibility. And to see that and to work with it, then we can do something. But if we refuse to admit that we have a problem, we have a temper or we have whatever it might be, then we can't do anything. Only when we accept the things that happen to us, the way we treat people, the things that our own karmic tendencies, our own habitual responses to things, then we can do something. Our habits of mind, that we tend to get irritable, or we tend to get frightened, or we tend to get despondent about things, to see that, oh, I have this tendency. Doesn't mean I'm a bad person. I don't have to judge it. I can do something. I can help myself. And this is where the other part of our phrase comes in. Feeling is the reaper of karma. We talked about karma a bit. Then there's the feeling. We tend to take everything personally, you know. I'm having this horrible time. This is awful. You know, my life, my feelings are the most important thing. It's all about me. But if we can get a little bit of detachment, a little bit of distance, it helps us greatly. A little more perspective. The Buddha taught that we are made up of the five skandhas, which many of us are familiar with, the five aggregates, the five aspects of our existence, the five heaps. There's a physical body, this body, plus all the physical things that we see. Then there's our feelings, whether physical feeling, sensation, or emotional feelings, spiritual feelings, mental thingies, states of mind. Feelings is the second one. Then there's our thoughts, including our memory. I think memory is a part of that, actually a large part of what we think of as me. And then there's volition or intention, our will to do something, as we just talked about. And then there's consciousness. And these five make up what we think of as me. And as the Buddha said, none of these is me. My body is not me. My feelings are not me. My thoughts are not me. My will and intentions and my actions are not me. My consciousness is not me. None of this is me. Because it isn't actually a me there or here. It's a nice, convenient hypothesis. Because we have to have a sense of being a me, or we couldn't live in our world, we couldn't function. We had to be able to navigate through our life with all these other me's, Otherwise, if we just didn't have any sense of this body, this mind, or something that I'm responsible for, we couldn't really do anything. But it's so hard to grasp this teaching of the Buddha that none of these aspects is me, and that the me is actually just a hypothesis, as I said, but is fundamental to his teaching, because it's upon this idea of a me that all our suffering is based. It's the root of our ignorance, and our craving, wanting this, not wanting that. I like this person, I don't like that thing. Trying to get what we want and avoid what we don't want. And that's the cause of all our suffering, really. Creates all the trouble. And it's why we create karma. Greed, anger, and ignorance. There we are. Because of me. Feeling is the reaper of karma. Our feelings, that second aggregate, they feel so much like me. We identify with them. I am upset. I am angry. I am unhappy. I am this. I am happy, I am in pain. And they seem so compelling, so much the most important thing is going on. And we don't have to completely identify with these feelings, which is a lot easier said than done. It's hard not to identify with our pain or our sadness or our anger or our regret of something we've done. It's the sort of little self just kind of, is right there, solid, when we've done something we wish we hadn't done. When we're happy, we feel a little bit less of a me. But when we've done something, or if there's something that we've experienced that has, it's had something painful happen, then we're much more of a me, because it sort of condenses around us somehow. Well, if we're upset or we're in pain, there is a cause, whether we've caused it or somebody else has. It doesn't mean there's blame. We don't have to blame ourselves. We don't have to blame somebody else. We don't have to make a judgment out of it. We just have this condition. I'm upset. I have pain. I'm miserable. Whatever it might be. Usually we've caused our own suffering, but whether we have or not, there doesn't have to be a judgment. There doesn't have to be blame. We don't have to add to our suffering by blaming ourselves for it or blaming somebody else. It's just cause and effect. We do things, other people do things, sometimes with the best of intentions, and then sometimes there's a suffering as a result. We're responsible for what we do. We're responsible for how we respond to our suffering or to other people's suffering. If we're unkind to somebody, we feel bad. Hopefully we feel bad. We don't even notice, it's not so good. Feeling bad, actually is a blessing, because it helps us to learn. The person we're unkind to may avoid us in the future. That's karma, the result. And we can apologize if we're lucky. We have a chance to apologize, and that helps a lot. But we don't have to label ourselves as an unkind person or a mean person or an angry person. Yes, we were unkind, but it doesn't have to stick to us. We don't have to label ourselves and have that little label stuck on, unkind, mean, you know. We can just do the best we can, let it go. We can practice kindness now. We can change. We can learn from our mistakes. We're not enslaved to our karmic mistakes. It's how we learn. Otherwise, we couldn't change if we didn't make mistakes and we didn't have that horrible feeling of, oh, why did I do that? Then we wouldn't change. We wouldn't learn. None of our feelings last forever. They all come and go, you know. They're empty of their nature. And again, is what the Buddha taught us. He said, feelings are like bubbles in a stream. They form, they burst, they're gone. Quickly, over and over again. Even the strongest feelings come and go. It may seem as though they last for a long time, but actually they're coming and going. Even despair, you know, it comes, it goes, it comes, it goes. It may feel as though it's continuous, but actually it arises and passes moment by moment. And sometimes, as we know, we may have a very strong feeling going on, and then something happens and it evaporates. You've been angry with somebody. Then we find there's a reason for that. You know, they've done something because they've had a horrible thing, tragedy in their life. And we hear this, instantly our anger evaporates. Well, where did it go? It wasn't real in the first place. But seeing that thing just helps us to just, it just disappears. These feelings, they're fundamentally empty. None of them is me. They are not our true nature. Like all those skandhas, form, sensation and all that. None of them is me. They are basically empty, without content. So there is no self in there. And if you can kind of remember this, even if you don't completely see it, we can learn to hold things a little bit more lightly, to relinquish our grip a bit. And this phrase, the feeling is the reaper of karma, helps us to do that. It's feeling that reaps the karma. If we didn't have feelings, karma wouldn't work. You know, it's because I feel that I take the karmic consequence of something. Something I've done, something else, something somebody else might have done. If we didn't have feeling, we would be insensitive and we couldn't learn anything. We couldn't do anything, really. Feeling is part of our nature. We're not trying to suppress our feelings or get rid of them or numb them or cut them off. They're part of our human existence, but we can learn to sit still with them. And we don't have to take them as me. I am an angry person. I am this sort of person. I am a miserable person. I have been badly treated in my life. You know, I have had a horrible existence. It's all bubbles. And when strong feelings arise, if we can sit still with them and not get completely pulled off by them, it helps us immeasurably, as we know, because it's a basic aspect of our practice to sit still in the midst of feeling, whether it's anger, sadness, fear, worry, despair, all those things, to sit still in the midst of them and not let them completely pull us off or overwhelm us. It's just feeling, and it's not me. It's not our true nature. If we're undergoing great pain or mental suffering of some kind, no matter what the cause of it may be, we can help ourselves to cleanse that karma by accepting it, simply by accepting it, no matter what the cause, and allowing ourselves to feel that pain. Physical, mental, spiritual, whatever. Just accepting it and allowing ourselves to feel it. No blame, no judgment. We do what we can to alleviate it. If it's pain, we might be able to take pain medication or whatever to help ourselves. And the greatest help is just simply accepting it and being as still as we can, being at ease within it, embracing it, if you like. Here it is, it's what I have, just need to accept it. And, yes, there's karmic reasons for it. I may or may not know what they are. I don't have to know what they are. Sometimes if it's something I've done, well, it's helpful to know because then I can not do that again. But really, to bear in mind that this pain, this suffering, is not useless. It can help us. We can learn from it. We can learn compassion for ourselves and for other beings. We can learn a little wisdom, not to do it again, whatever it might have been that caused that, you know. We'll stop bungee jumping, whatever. But accepting what has happened to us, accepting the condition we're in, really helps it. Helps to mitigate it, sitting still, accepting it as completely as we can, and not thinking, this is me, this is my true nature. This is just a condition. It's a condition for now, and it won't last forever and ever. It's just cause and effect. Nothing lasts forever. You know? When I find myself saying, feeling is the reaper of karma, which does come up quite often, is usually in the context of bearing something that is hard to bear. Feeling is the reaper of karma. Something that is hard to bear. Cleansing karma in some form. Somebody has some physical illness or some spiritual pain. Feeling is the reaper of karma. By bearing it, by accepting it and sitting still with it and not getting all upset or resentful or acting on it. Just by doing that, we are helping to cleanse it. If we have a chronic problem with anger, if we can sit still with that, any moment we can sit still with that, we're helping to cleanse it because we're going against that habitual pattern of anger and resentment. We're kind of stepping outside that for a moment. And there's a feeling of kind of cleansing when you're paying attention. It's just a feeling of freedom, actually. I don't have to fall into resentment. I don't have to dwell on this anger. I can be still. I can just be still. And every moment that we do that, we're helping cleanse that karma. Or with fear or anxiety or inadequacy or any of those things, despondency, despair, you know, any of these things. Any moment we can just sit there still with it and accept it and not act on it and not feed it. Oh yes, I really am a worthless person, you know. Any moment we can do that is a moment to the good and it helps with cleansing our karma. You can kind of feel that. There's a benevolent aspect, a beneficent aspect. Any moment we can just do that, just sit still with whatever it is that ails us, physical, mental, spiritual, whatever. It's comforting to know that our suffering is not useless, that actually we're cleansing karma by simply undergoing this feeling. Feeling is the reaper of karma. That's what it means. Karmic consequence is coming. It's feeling that receives it. But I don't have to take it all into myself. Oh, I am this awful, dreadful person. Just here it is. Here's the feeling. To be able to have a little bit of dispassion, in a sense, not to take it all too personally. Here it is. I did something really unkind. Now I'm getting the consequence. Whether it's recently, 5 minutes ago, many years ago, here is the consequence. And again, as I said, even if you don't know what caused it, it's all right. Because if you can just accept that there's a reason for this suffering and sit still with it and not resent it, not think I've got somebody else's comeuppance, but this is something that I just need to accept and work with. It helps us immeasurably and it helps with the cleansing of karma. It helps us find compassion, acceptance and compassion for ourselves and for others, compassion for other people who have a lot of the same kind of pain or other kinds of pain. Anytime we have suffering, we can soften the heart and learn compassion Or we can harden it and become embittered. But we don't have to do that. We can soften the heart and learn compassion for ourselves and other beings. All beings have suffering, no matter who they are. Nobody has a perfectly, completely happy life in this world. Everybody has suffering one way or another. Some people have a lot, some people have a bit, but we all know, all beings know suffering. You know. There's so much suffering in this world, we could drown in it and think it's got no end and no purpose. But that's not the case. If we can see suffering as cause and effect, not blaming, no blame, but just to see this as cause and effect, and actually there's compassion with that, within that, because we can learn the compassion of cause and effect, the compassion of karmic consequence. How would we learn anything if we didn't get consequences for our mistakes? That so then we can learn, oh, I don't want to do that again, you know. The compassion within the suffering of our world. We can learn to live more kindly and more wisely. All of us can in this world. All of us have the ability to learn something. All of us can change, because all of us are part of Buddha nature. No matter how long it might take, it may seem endlessly the world is, you know, full of suffering. Well, it may be so, but individual beings learn and change. Individual beings do better. And we're all on that path of finding our way to truth, no matter what it looks like. None of us is beyond hope or redemption. Look at the longer view, you know. We're all part of Buddha nature. We can't help it. We're stuck with it. And we all have that goodness within us. And if we can trust in that with faith, it helps us and it helps our world. And that's our talk for the day. Thank you.